While it was not apparent to me at the time, the ethereal effects the travel was having on me was an exposure to numerous groups and individuals with positive motivation or success habits. The contact with these types of positive life patterns helped me to discover a distinct contrast between success consciousness and status quo routines. When asked where I attended college, I always told people that I had attended UHK, University of Hard Knocks, where I received a degree in results. I learned by doing. But still, I found no peace or resolution in my income dilemma. There seemed to be an eerie connection between the jobs experience and what my father had been attempting to instill, but neither one made an apparent significant connection. The size of the success you want to build is dependent solely upon the amount of personal power you are willing to give. How and what a person can contribute to others is based on what he feels about himself. I began to grasp that there were two distinct mindsets. My father's mindset could only think in terms of hoarding or receiving, and was exclusively negative-oriented. His obsession was on conserving what was his versus finding or creating value for others. I was slowly becoming aware that there was another mindset, one that thinks in terms of creating or adding value and is highly positive. By seeking ways to offer more of my full potential and talent, I not only could create more value, but also achieve an inner vitality. As an employee, I didn't feel that I was making contributions that were as meaningful or significant as they could be. Remembering the hunter-gatherer ideal of my childhood, I realized that the problem with living such a simple life was that it didn't entail giving anything back. The necessity to contribute something useful was missing. When the only goal is money, there are so many different ways of obtaining it that a person can become confused as to what avenue to take. Money is merely a means to an end, not an end. It was my father's view of money being the end that was beginning to unravel. I worked as an employee from 1974 to 1987 and then transitioned into a business owner, but still not by some master understanding or clear plan. After many years of feeling disenfranchised, I decided to take a leap of faith and start my own company. I quit my secure job at a Fortune 100 aerospace company, where I earned more money than I dreamed possible. Once again, I took a lot of ribbing from my colleagues, all of whom were highly degreed MBAs, PhDs, and the like. They thought I was either to be pitied because I was doomed to fail or mocked for the same reason. At the age of 28, I had not only learned to overcome the cynicism and negativity of family, friends, and coworkers, but I was also able to begin forming new life patterns which conformed more to the life I desired. I began a new journey to controlling my own destiny. Several months after Rich Dad, Poor Dad came out, my second oldest brother told me about it. Here was a book that was putting into words what I was struggling with almost my entire life. All of a sudden, a new definition of what I was doing came to light. After reading Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, I realized, by starting my own company, that I was already operating on the right side as a business owner and investor, rather than as employee or self-employed on the left side of the quadrant. What an incredible, liberating, and wonderful feeling. Finally, my day of emancipation was at hand. At last, a sense of peace with all I had been doing up to that point came over me. One example of my right side of the quadrant focus was after I quit my aerospace job. Tired of paying rent since the age of 18, it just didn't make sense to spend $400 to $800 a month and gain nothing from it. I bought a 3-acre tract of land 30 miles south of Austin, Texas. I figured that I could build a structure on the land and live there. I didn't even care if it was a shack. I calculated if I paid X and eventually sold it for Y, I would come out okay. The man who owned the property was desperate to sell. To pay cash for the property, $12,000, a huge amount for me at the time, I sold my fancy sports car and wiped out my accumulated backlog of savings. Next, I spent my evenings and weekends building a modest home on the property. I lived there a while before I sold the property for $75,000 and used the proceeds to start my first company. I built that company, which provided engineering services and products for all the major airlines around the world, into a multi-million dollar business within 3 years. I also did it without borrowing a dime. But post-Rich Dad, my approach to real estate buying, as well as my view of myself, underwent a fundamental shift. Pre-Rich Dad, my purchases were about trying to amass huge amounts of cash so as not to have to borrow too much money. In hindsight, I missed many wonderful opportunities. If I couldn't put enough money down to make the property affordable for my own earned income monthly cash flow, then I would just pass on the deal.